I'm your host, Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith, here in the Leaders Portfolio Studio. And joining us is Mr. Robert Blackwell, CEO and founder of EKI Digital. EKI Digital is a Chicago management and technology consulting firm, and the company focuses on application, data, and content for clients. Robert, can you explain the process?
Okay, well, EKI Digital is a company that really helps organizations turn IT into money. So the first thing is you have to identify and quantify the value that technology is supposed to bring to you, because it should help you increase revenue or lower cost or risk. So the first thing is we do is we try to understand the company's strategy and then figure out where technology can help the organization, again, do one of those three things: increase revenue, lower cost, and risk.
Can you give us an example of how you've done those three things for someone?
Well, I can tell you some things we've done in the private sector, in the public sector, in the private sector. We're kind of by contract can't talk about it, but we manage the City of Chicago portal and payment engines, and last year, $1.3 billion went through the system that we built for them. The City of Chicago sold its parking meters. It privatized its parking meters a few years ago, but there was no system that would give them what was called them the true-up amount. So the mayor got they were getting bills of between $20 and $40 million a year. The new mayor came in and asked us to look at it. And we found that they actually didn't owe any money and saved them $1 billion over the life of the contract. So we're pretty good at understanding strategy and operations and finance and helping companies find money in their operations.
Wow, that's a pretty great accomplishment there, $1 billion in savings. You can't say that every day, right?
No, I do wish you could do it every day. But and if they would have given me half, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Interesting. You also, speaking of this connection between business and technology, you just invested in CloudMine Consulting in February.
That's correct.
And so talk about how you're, you know, aligning that business with yours now.
Well, it's a California-based company that's focused on Salesforce. And what our company does really good is managing platforms as a service to manage applications and the supporting infrastructure. So we're a Salesforce partner. We're investing very heavily into Salesforce. And this company, which it actually turns out as a funny story, years ago, on another company, it's called Killerspin. It's a table tennis company. I sponsored the USC table tennis team. And we decided we're going to go into Salesforce, and I got a LinkedIn message from one of the young people that I'd sponsored, and they're one of the owners of CloudMind.
So that connection from back then has maintained,
yes,
to this day. All right, great.
Yes.
And so you kind of led the path for talking about your second company, which is Killerspin, and you provide table tennis equipment, apparel, and promotions. And you learned how to play table tennis back from your father growing up.
That's correct. In fact, I used to, when I was young, you know, this is kind of what me and my father did together. You know, he was, actually the real story is I used to think my father played with me because he loved me until he told me the real story. He said, my father's 23 years older than me. And so when I was 8, you know, he was in his, my 31. And my mother said to him, I know you're busy, you're focused on your career, so but don't forget you have a son. So don't be a bum and spend time with your son. So he bought a table tennis table, and him and I started playing together. And that's, to this day, that's really what I remember doing with my father when I was growing up.
And Robert, I did watch you in an interview where you said you used to beat up on your younger brother in table tennis as well.
Yes, that's, I mean, anybody beat the younger brother should be arrested.
So you ended
yes,
up. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, what Killer Spin really does is we create experiences that connect people to the people that they care about. Table tennis is a sport of, it's really the sport of family and friends, the digital generation, and in China. So what we say is we help connect people to their family, friends, customers, employees through highly designed table tennis engagement. And that's really what the business is. It's helping people to build and strengthen relationships through table tennis. So our business really is what I call unplug and play as a service.
Explain that.
So I think there are two big trends in the world, and in business, you should always look for the trends. So there's two big trends in the world. One is the digitization of everything, and the second is the rebellion against the digitization of everything. Almost every parent is concerned about how much time their children are spending on electronic devices, and for good reason, because it's not very good for your brain, and it's actually changing the way that we interact with one another. So we came up with this goofy little slogan called Unplug and Play. So you take time away from electronics to give your brain a rest and actually connect with somebody. So it's kind of worked out because it's a sport of family and friends, and everybody in the world knows table tennis, but almost nobody can name the name of a brand. So we decided that we were going to have a company that created table tennis experiences that connect people.
And at some point, you took this hobby you did with your father, you also turned it into a company, but you also became a professional table tennis player at some point?
No, actually, I was never a professional table tennis player. I don't know, maybe that's a lie my mother told somebody.
Maybe that's where we got the brother beating up on the brother in the game too, right?
Yeah, she was mad at me for that, but I think she still loves me. No, I was never a professional table tennis player, but I would call myself a decent amateur. But I think Killer Spin has really revolutionized the way that table tennis is presented. We are the leading producer of table tennis media in the world. We have, like, one of our YouTube clips has 18 million YouTube views. We produce all the table tennis for ESPN. We created the luxury category. So we have the number one selling table tennis tables in the world, over $2,000. So for us, it's just really being unique and staying in our space and trying to solve problems. Business is about solving problems. And your business is best when you can either solve an emotional problem or a financial problem. So we try to see business through those two lenses.
You know, it's interesting how much your growing up influenced you, right? So one was this, you know, playing with your father in table tennis, and then you end up creating Killer Spin. But I also saw how another theme, which is that, and I see this with other CEOs, how parents kind of cultivated young people in business early on. And I remember a story I read about you where you started selling gum to your classmates and made this a financial endeavor at a young age.
Yes. So really what happened is when I was young, my father was 23 when I was born, and my mother was 20. So they didn't have any money. And I was the oldest, and I was pretty independent. My parents kind of had rules. Here are what the rules are. If you stick within the rules, you can do whatever you want. So they gave me lots of freedom. And so what I used to do, I would walk to school, and I would notice they were recycling little Coke bottles that you could pick up and you could take to the store and get a nickel back, because at that time they used to make you put a deposit on a glass bottle. So I did that, and I just kind of liked making my own money. So I noticed that people would go to a candy store for lunch, and if they got back in those days, the teachers could actually hit you with wooden paddles. So there was a big disincentive for people to be late coming back from lunch.
Interesting.
So I just took some money. I went and bought some gum. Used to be these long sticks of gum called Bub's Daddy. I bought them for a nickel and sold them for a dime. So I don't know, I think I was like 8 years old and I was making like $20 a day. And in 1969, that was a lot of money. So I just really liked being in control of my own destiny.
That's excellent.
So I would say my parents, what my parents really gave me is, my parents are, I would say, very flexible on some things, but really strict on some other things, like speaking the English language. Like, my mother would kill you if you ended a sentence in a preposition. I mean, it was a little crazy, but and my parents were really about, everything was about character, your character and your work ethic. So listen, God blessed me with great parents. I'm really lucky.
So how does that character that you learned from them translate into kind of what you do today? I know with your EKI Digital that you talk about one of your corporate values is to put clients' interests first.
Well, listen, in general in business, I first of all, I'm a math guy, so I mean, everything for me is a formula. In fact, the formula that we use in the business is that results equals the quality of strategy plus execution divided by time. So you should start specifically with what you want to get accomplished, create a strategy that makes you loved and unique, create an execution engine so that you can execute your strategy, which is people, process, tools, and facilities, and put in a time frame for accomplishing your results. And what I think about business is about satisfying the needs of a customer. And customers don't care what you want, they care what they want. So you ought to focus on your customers. And the business is a function of how many happy customers you can have. So it's a little selfish. It's just kind of basic math where if you get a customer, you satisfy a need, the more customers you get, the more customers that you can satisfy, the bigger your business is going to be. So I always believe in just taking your eyes off yourself and looking at other people, whether it's your employees or whether it's your customers.
We're speaking with Robert Blackwell, CEO and founder of EKI Digital. I'm Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. You're listening to Leaders Portfolio at leadersportfolio.com. I want to thank the supporters of leadership, the Leaders Portfolio sponsors, Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Green Tree Surgeons, Riverwalk, a development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. Again, here with us is Mr. Robert Blackwell, CEO and founder of EKI Digital. Robert, you have 150 books and about 500 podcasts available to you. So you spend about an hour every day trying to educate yourself?
Well, I really probably spend 3 hours a day. My day usually starts off between 2:30 and 3:30 in the morning.
Wow.
I try to get up and spend an hour educating myself on something. You get up and work out and then prepare to go to work. And then I go to work, come home, and then spend another hour or 2 hours just listening to books on economic, gigantic economics and history nut, on economics and public policy and finance and history and philosophy and, I mean, different things related to business. I prefer the other kind of books, frankly, but I listen to lots and lots and lots of books. I would probably say I spend 15 to 20 hours a week trying to educate myself.
Hmm. That's great. Now, you went to University of Illinois at Chicago, and you got a bachelor's degree there.
No master's.
Oh, master's.
I did not get a master's. I just went to school studying math there. I didn't go to grad school. Out of college, I started working at IBM.
Okay. And one of the things that's interesting about your story that I liked was that you did what's common across people that succeed, and that is that you were willing to learn or work for free. So you, at some point back then, you wanted to become a trader. You told a friend of yours who was a trader, listen, I'll work for 6 months for free if you get me on the floor. And you ended up getting that 6 months where you got to work as an arbitrage clerk.
That's correct. Well, I would say I felt very lucky that I got to be learn to be a trader and work on the Merc. Because in that environment, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, in that environment, you have to learn to focus and be very intense. You have to be very intensely focused while the trading day is going on. You have to learn, when you learn to trade, you have to learn not to get excited when things look like they're going your way, and don't get too down when it looks like the world's against you.
Excellent. What's your overall leadership philosophy?
Mine is to give people responsibility and get out of their way. Hire the right people, agree on what they're going to get accomplished, and then give them the resources that they need to accomplish it. That's pretty much it.
Great. You talked about having a talent phase, a personal development phase, and then a reinventing leading phase in your life. Can you share that with us?
Well, talent phase is where I would say when you're in your 20s, you're really building skills. I mean, nobody who comes out of college knows anything. I mean, they all think they do, but really you don't. What you should get out of college is to learn how to think, to learn a little bit about history and how people have been successful, to build some fundamental skills. But you're really doing that through your 20s, before you can start to lead. And I think that's what happened to me. When I worked at IBM, I was frankly much better. I left at 21 to start a company. And like most 21-year-olds, I knew a lot more about technology than business. But I kind of did well enough to take care of myself and some friends. But I certainly didn't have the same type of skills that I had in my 30s when I was in my 20s.
Let me ask about your businesses, EKI Digital and Killer Spin. How did the Great Recession affect your business or your understanding as a business leader?
Well, I would say this is one of the great blessings that I had was to be at the Mercantile Exchange, because in order to learn how to be a trader, I actually studied the stock market from the beginning. I actually plotted the movements of the stock market from when it started sometimes in the 1800s until when I finally stopped it somewhere in the 1990s. So what I saw is there's lots of boom and bust cycles. And in trading, you have to kind of look ahead and see what's coming. So I was an options, I wrote options trading models, and I was a technical analyst. So what a technical analyst does is to try to look at patterns to guess what is going to happen in the future. So luckily, I think these skills that I'd built up helped me in some way predict the crash of 87. I was actually on the floor in the Mercantile Exchange during the crash of 1987, and I'd been able to predict that. I was also, around 2008, I was very concerned in the 2000s about the housing bubble and the internet bubble. In fact, I started Killer Spin because EKI had never done any business in the public sector. I thought that there was going to be, I thought this internet thing was a gigantic bubble because people were kind of talking silly. They were talking about things like mindshare, and nobody thought you had to make money. And I was in a taxi, and a cab driver gave me some stock advice, and I said, for sure, it's over now. So I prepared ourselves for the internet crash. So we were prepared for that. And the same in the late 2000s around housing. I knew the housing was a bubble that was about to burst, and we had to prepare themselves. So one of the things we always did is save a lot of money. I've just always believed in saving money because there's always a catastrophe out there. There's always a Katrina. There's always, if you study history, there's always something that happens. And if you're not prepared for it, it can take you under. So I would say I've got constructive paranoia.
That's interesting. That's interesting how your past allowed you to kind of navigate some of these future issues that we've had in the country. I have one final question for you, Robert.
Sure.
This is really exciting how you've been involved in, but you've hired people who were ex-felons, and you said they've gone and now they've got great lives. People who made $10 an hour 6 years ago are now making $100,000, which is phenomenal outcomes. So talk about your involvement with that group of people and why you got involved.
Well, when I started, when I was at IBM, IBM was a company that said, in a very nice way, if you're not a salesman, you're a nobody. And then how they said it was, the chairman's a salesman, the president a salesman, everybody in the pipeline to be anybody is a salesman here. Well, I wasn't. I was just this little nerdy kid who had, you know, some skills and was a little techie. And so I remember how I felt there, and I said, I never want to have that environment. And I remember how I felt. So I said, I want to build a culture where it doesn't matter who you are, we'll give you an opportunity. It doesn't matter if you got a funny accent or you're a woman or wherever you're from. If you can do the work, we'll take a chance on you. And I personally think that I am, I would say I'm the second luckiest person in the world after my friend, the recent former president. But I think God has really blessed me and I'm just really lucky. And I wake up in the morning and kind of good things happen to me. And I don't know that I deserve it. I'm grateful for it. But just good stuff kind of happens for me. So I think that creating opportunity for other people who might not have the same opportunities as others is something that that we all should do. And as somebody who's African American, there are people who sacrificed a lot so that I could have opportunities that I have today. So I think it's not unreasonable for me to take on some responsibility. And the person, there's like one person, his name is Jonathan. And Jonathan was sitting in, he was 17, he got in trouble and he shot somebody. He was sitting in jail trying to figure out what he was going to do with his life. And somebody said, you should study computer technology. He said, no, I'm a fella now. Nobody's ever going to give me an opportunity. But a priest came to me and said, do you ever give internships? And I said, if they're smart, honest, and have a good work ethic, we'll give them a shot. Well, he started at $10 an hour, and when he left, he was making $120,000, and we helped him start his own company, and now he's doing really great, and he's helped other people. So we've done that a number of times, and it's worked out. And I don't know why, but God's been really good to me, and so maybe I should go do something for somebody other than myself. It's my philosophy.
That's great, Robert. That is phenomenal, an awesome testament. So wonderful. So thank you so much, Robert Blackwell, for joining us on Leaders Portfolio and sharing with us today.
No, thank you. So nice to talk to you.
I'm Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. I want to thank the supporters of leadership, our Leaders Portfolio sponsors, Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Green Tree Surgeons, Riverwalk, a development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. If you're trying to reach the business community directly, consider sponsorship of Leaders Portfolio by sending us an email on our website for a sponsorship packet. I enjoy speaking with you about leadership. This has been Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith asking you what's in your portfolio.